This is Chicago's Morning Answer.
Merry Christmas.
On AM 560.
Ho, ho, ho.
The Answer.
Ho, ho.
Well, hello. Is this thing on? Yes. It's the eve of Christmas Eve. And it's a pleasure to be joined by Paul Vallis. How are you, dear? Well, you got to turn on your mic.
Oh, I find my microphone. Sorry.
You're doing well?
Yeah.
I know you had a COVID scare. Well, not a COVID scare. You had COVID.
I did.
So
I'm
did
fine.
Justin. So did Quinn.
My boys had it, too. They're first responders.
Yeah. You know?
But my wife, who, of course, is TSA,
right.
She's immune.
And I got tested yesterday. So we're going out of town, and we have to have a clear negative test, a PCR nuclear test
before
in order
they let you leave the border when you go through the
this is what America has become.
Make sure you have your papers.
And so I had to drive to Milwaukee yesterday to get a PCR test.
Mm.
And we did it in the car. It was a drive through Walgreens because American only accepts CVS and Walgreens. But CVS and Walgreens in the city were completely booked. So I had to drive to Milwaukee to get tested. I'm like, how did it come to this? And Dennis Prager wrote a great article. I want you to read it, some homework assignment for you.
Okay.
But he talked about how this is America when a two-year-old gets kicked off a United flight for not wearing a mask. Did you see that?
No, I did not.
Did you see the video? So the dad, she's 2 years old, and the dad was trying to give her a sippy cup, and then the dad literally is covering her mouth with a mask to try to get her to stop crying.
And they made her. They made him take her off the plane.
All four of them. The
all
wife.
Of course.
And the worst part is they left the stroller and the car seat on the plane. They wouldn't let them get that off the plane.
Oh, my God.
Before they took off from Denver to Newark. So now we're in the airport.
Is that the same airlines that just got that another massive bailout? So.
Yeah, exactly. And we'll talk about that because President Trump is not, I don't know, he's not going to be signing that stimulus bill because he wants more money for Americans. But anyway, so when we were in Milwaukee, my son is 17 and, because of all the COVID stuff and schools closing, he finally got his permit. So I thought, well, he's got to drive on the expressway at some point in time. So I pulled over in a town I have never been to. Have you ever heard of the Village of Green Oaks?
No.
All right. As a reporter, I think I've done live shots everywhere. So I pull over there, walk into City Hall because they have this cute little area because I had to go to the bathroom. And I thought, oh, my God, they're going to think I'm crazy. Like I'm a homeless lady. Can I use your bathroom? And I walk in, and the person that opens the door is my sorority sister that
amazing?
I have not seen in 20 years, Julie Jerikian. And I almost started crying. I said, can I use your bathroom? She said, Amy J? I'm like, Julie, is that you? And it was so great. We took pictures in front of the Christmas tree.
Nice.
We hugged. I'm like, I don't even care. I don't have COVID. Give me a hug. I want a hug. Like, I miss things from 2020. 312-642-5600. What do you miss most? From this past year, like, what have you been robbed of? Because I thought yesterday, like, God, we've been robbed of hugs. I hug Justin, though. Don't I? Justin, you can turn on your mic. I hug Justin all the time. You love it, don't you?
Oh, I'd love it over here.
I'm your radio mom.
That's a perfect way to describe it.
I know. And then terms you never want to hear again in 2021. What 312-642-5600. What do you never want to hear about? Because I never want a politician to tell me to wash my hands ever. I can't stand it when they tell me, wash your hands, mask up, sleeve up, get your flu shot. I got my flu shot. I wash my hands. It's to the point where it's too much. What do you never want to hear again or not?
Telling me to socially distance in my own home.
Right. Exactly.
That's right.
Yeah, social distancing.
That's what the president said yesterday. We need to be socially distancing in our own homes. So.
Trump said that or Biden
said
that?
Biden said
that. Biden. President-elect. That's what we call him around here, Paul.
There's just something that kind of irritates me with that.
I know. We'll get into that, too, and play that doom and gloom audio. I mean, it was such doom and gloom, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
It's always doom and gloom.
And now, apparently, some are saying we're going to have to wear the mask even after everybody gets vaccinated. So
then why would people get vaccinated?
Yeah. Good question.
And are you going to, I don't know how old you are. You're 38. How old are you?
Yeah, right. Top plus 29. So.
Okay. Well, are you going to get vaccinated?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, but you've already had COVID. So do you have to get?
I think you have to set an example. And who's to say that COVID won't be a recurring issue like the flu? Because they're talking about the new strain if there's a more infectious strain in England.
In England.
Although it's not affecting
But hospitalizations are not up.
Yeah, yeah, it's not affecting anything. But this could we could be getting annual COVID shots. At least the teachers' union will have an excuse to never reopen.
Oh, my God. Justin, what do you never want to hear again in 2020?
Mitigation. I hate that word.
Mitigation.
I hate it. I hate everything about it. Everything that surrounds it, everything that it's all about, hate it.
Yeah. So we're in phase, what are we right now? We're phase four, tier three mitigation. I'd like to go to a phase four, tier one. That would make me happy. I mean, do you know what these?
No.
Nobody even knows.
No.
And I thought phase four, tier two would be better. But it's not. We need to be in just phase four with no mitigations. All right. Let's Mike Scott, what's the term in 2021 that you never want to hear again? Social distance. Well,
I got to think. Lions might go to the Super Bowl. That's what I don't want to hear anyone say that. And I also don't want to hear anyone from the north side say we would be better if Theo were here.
Oh.
Because you won't be better right. if Theo were there.
Well,
it's just the trends of where baseball.
How have you been dealing with all this? Because I know your wife, Melissa, and thank you, by the way, for the Christmas cookies. I really.
They're in the.
I know, but you
sure,
gave me a bag the other day.
Sure, everybody just show up and grab some.
I will.
That's fine.
But how is your wife doing? Because
she's
I get
doing
emails
great.
All the time. Mike's wife has cancer, and she had to, you know, because of COVID, she couldn't go to the hospital right away, as she should have.
In March. Yeah.
In March.
To have surgery.
Right. I mean.
Right. The mitigations, which pushed hospitals into not doing
right.
certain surgeries, somehow included cancer surgery as mm-hmm. elective surgeries. I'm not sure cancer is in any way, shape, or form elective, but that is need that as it may. Melissa went in March, did not have the surgery, so she had it in May. Successful surgery, which we're very thankful for. And then they found that the cancer had spread into her lymph nodes underneath her left arm. So 12 of the 15 lymph nodes that they removed had cancer. At that point, that surgery was very, in July, they removed those lymph nodes and reattached her lymph system to a vein, which was one of the first surgeries in the country that has happened for, and that has been very successful. And we're grateful for our friends at North Shore Medical Centers, especially up in Highland Park and in Evanston, for the superior service. And Dr. Merkel, our oncology doc, has been awesome.
Good.
And since then, chemotherapy has been a very good experience. The first four chemotherapy rounds of 16 were tough. Those were the double chemotherapies every 2 weeks, and she has chemotherapy every week now with a substance called Taxol, which was actually made from the Pacific yew tree. Look it up. and has been good. It has some side effects that may involve neuropathy, loss of feeling in the fingers and feet, but so far nothing bad.
Okay.
So we're extremely grateful, and we have also received random people dropping notes in our mailbox, in Riverside, meals. Our church has been fabulous, Trinity and Hinsdale.
And still have church? Because my church closed down again.
No. We'll be worshiping on Christmas Eve.
Very good.
And it's just been a real journey for us, learning how to be a different kind of husband.
Yeah.
Learning how to
be. How long have you guys been married?
It'll be 35 years in May.
Wow.
Or
so you
April.
Have a new
Sorry,
appreciation.
April.
Well, you have a, yeah. Don't get that
Sorry,
wrong.
Don't get that
but
wrong.
But you have a new appreciation for life and for love and for your relationship.
Oh, I think so. I think you appreciate one of the things that just opening the door a little bit, letting folks into a little bit of what happens to almost anyone who has cancer and or is dealing with cancer in a family is I had to cut Melissa's hair. back when after the first rounds of chemotherapy is when you normally lose your hair, and she was just sick of it. She was sick of the hairballs. She was sick of it shedding, and it wasn't all the way out yet. But she's like, let's do it. Let's get it done. And I said, okay, let's book the appointment at a salon, and let's get it. Let's get it cut. Let's get it shaved. And she's like, no, you're doing it.
Oh, you're going to make me cry.
and it made her cry. It made me cry. But it's one of those things that every family has to go through, and it's a moment that sort of stiffens your spine. that says, okay, we're going to go through this together as husband mm-hmm. and wife. God has provided for us very richly with four great kids, and they have been great and helpful. But our community in Riverside has just, the swim team at RB, Emily's swim team, has just gone way overboard. And it's just been, we've learned about community. We've learned about our neighbors, folks we've never really had mm-hmm. a lot of contact with before. And it's, the struggle is real. Her white blood cell counts and her blood work is great. The doctors are just very happy with where it is, and we have radiation to go through until probably February 14. Probably Valentine's Day will be.
Okay.
We'll be done. Probably. And then comes the next walk
yeah.
of the cancer journey, the 5 years after that.
Right.
Right. And but we're grateful. God has been good.
Oh,
and we're
I
we're
wish
just
I had some what you're having.
You can.
I know, but I
and it's been a hard walk for Melissa, and you know, knowing Melissa like you do a little bit, Amy, you know, yeah. she doesn't share a ton.
No, she's private. I mean,
kind of private. And yeah. even to her husband.
Yeah.
And sometimes you got to pull it out of her when times are bad or she really needs to sit down, and she's worked through this whole thing too, which has been great for her company and great for her because it's been a good distraction. Even Emily being at home from school,
yeah,
from RB,
maybe that was
been,
a blessing. Yeah,
it really
because that's
it was
time a, with your kids that you're
oh, yeah.
and, not going to get back.
And it was good for Emily to see mom get organized mm-hmm. and
yeah.
how to get the day started and how to work and how to get things done in spite of interruptions. And Emily has thrived. This
good.
First semester of yeah, freshman year.
This is
year.
Her freshman year, yeah.
yeah.
Now, are they going back?
That's
because
the plan.
January, well, we learned yesterday,
plan.
District 214, God bless that superintendent.
Yeah.
Monday through Friday, none of this hybrid bull jive. January 19th, District 214 is going back. That's Hersey, Elk Grove, Wheeling,
right.
Buffalo
and,
Grove.
And that's good
and
news. I think
that's great news.
A lot of the western suburban schools, I don't want to speak out of turn, but I know the Hinsdale districts,
yep.
They're hybriding, but they're increasing the number of days. RB likely will too. You can see the light coming at the end of the tunnel for these poor freshmen who have not had a high school experience, and these poor seniors.
They've
lost their senior year.
Can you imagine?
They've lost
oh
their senior
no
year.
No homecoming, no dances, no prom last year. I mean, it'll be a year.
Yeah.
Last year and this year. I want a do-over. I mean, honest to God, I want a do-over. And I know what's going to happen. As soon as my kids can play sports, someone's going to get injured. I'm like, somebody's going to get injured because somebody always gets injured.
Well, sure.
And I just, see, I need to be more like you and be positive, whereas I'm being negative right now and saying, oh, and they do get back on the court, they're going to get injured.
Well, you know, for the children, it's their world. It's
yes.
the clubs, the associations, and, you know, to miss the sports, to miss the
human
prom,
interaction.
Oh, my
yeah.
God. It's
and
just,
the fact that Pritzker took away travel sports on top of everything else, then he took away travel sports. I mean, that is so ridiculous. And I looked up, you know, from social contactors, it's not even 0.5% of spread is from travel sports. I mean, so he stuck it to people that, you know, want the extra mile to try to get their kids involved in something.
Well,
so.
There's a fear factor there. And that's where they're legislating from. And I'll call it legislating.
Yeah.
They're legislating from a
dictating.
They don't want to be the person who doesn't get reelected. And this is all 50
well,
states.
Pritzker's done.
This is
I'm
all
sorry,
50 states. There many
I'm
times
sorry.
There are even and even those like Tim Walz in Minnesota and our governor in Indiana who have had mitigations that have been far less than some other states. They're still reacting from I don't want to miss the opportunity to be reelected, and I don't want this on my record.
Yeah, but Walz and Holcomb, at least they set dates. So Governor Walz, who used to be a former football coach mm-hmm. in high school, he said, listen, I need 3 weeks. So he told them, I'm shutting everything down Saturday, so get the football championships in on Friday, which they did.
Mm-hmm.
And then he gave them 3 weeks. He reported back. He had a press conference saying, January 4th, we're going to start up
yep.
winter sports again.
Winter sports
but
is
But we
up.
Don't have that kind of leadership here. We just say, then Pritzker announces, I'm not going to have any more daily press briefings. Oh, so we're just, in limbo.
Right.
Well, nobody likes to be in limbo.
Right. They have divided government, which is healthy in Minnesota. So,
well, I think with respect to schools, what the governors have done, or some governors, like Pritzker, is they've basically said, I'm going to leave it up to the schools.
Right.
Yeah, but you can't do that because no one's got a spine.
And then, of course, during this age of quarantine where you don't have there's a lot of school board meetings that are Zoom or online or things, you know. I mean, people, the unions are dominating. The unions are dominating. I mean, even now, you've got kind of pessimistic responses coming from National Teachers Union saying, well, not so fast. Yeah, we have a vaccine, but not so fast.
And now is the vaccine safe?
I think Sharkey said, Sharkey actually said this in the New York Times, that if schools shut down, then there's less of a need for a vaccine. Oh, what?
Right. You know, I have a question for you, Paul. As you know, I covered you when you were at CPS, and I've been curious about this. And maybe we don't have to do it now. It's 5:33.
Yeah. Okay.
But the liability insurance question. If there is a simple answer to that, why some school boards have said, well, we don't want to accept liability. Or if we bring kids back, there may be opportunity for us to be sued. That's an interesting question, and it's, again, one of the reasons why legislatively and from an executive order standpoint, I think the governor has reacted in this way, saying, okay, I'm going to limit liability because I don't want school boards to get sued or schools to get sued. I'm curious about that.
Okay.
And get to that at the back end.
The stories you need to know to start your day. This is Chicago's Morning Answer. On AM 560, The Answer. Only the biggest stories, only the biggest guests, and only the biggest opinions. This is AM 560, The Answer.
I'm a little scatterbrained today. Good morning on the eve of Christmas Eve. We're here for you, 312-642-5600, turnkey.pro, answer line 64636. Type in DA, then a quick comment. President-elect Joe Biden yesterday gave his year-end speech and talked about, you know, travel to the UK because right now that's a hot spot. There's a new strain of COVID-19. But doctors here in America think that it's already been here. I mean, why would it just be isolated to the UK? So you know how that spike we had at the beginning of November, we had 15,000 cases. Now we're down to 4,000. Then we go back up to 6,000. And they think that already happened. But President Biden on whether or not we should ban travel from the UK to the United States.
One of the things I'm waiting to get a response from my COVID team is whether or not we should require testing before they get on an aircraft to fly home, number one. And number two, when they get home, should they quarantine?
So... And people, you know, they just want to be home for the holidays.
It is very important to be home with your family during the holidays.
312-642-5600, turnkey.pro, answer line 64636, type in DA. Then a quick comment. We did not hear in Illinois see the Thanksgiving surge. They kept warning, you know, there's going to be a Thanksgiving surge. Just two households, your household and maybe somebody else, but socially distanced, wear a mask inside your home. Didn't happen. Dr. Awarde said yesterday that we had a surge in Chicago, but the numbers don't add up. No, we did not have a surge in Chicago. But I think that they're saying that to scare us from having people over at Christmas time.
Well, I'll tell you the surge we did see in November.
What?
We saw a surge in shootings. We saw a surge in murders. All these kids out of school. There's been, 83 school-aged children in Chicago murdered and 516 shot.
83 murdered.
83 murdered, 516 shot in the city of Chicago. Because there's 100,000 students basically not in school. And incidentally, there's no plan by the district to reopen schools for the high school kids. So no plan, no date, no timeline to get the high school kids back into school. I'll also tell you another surge we saw in November, 27,000 fewer jobs in the hospitality industry, the restaurants, the bars, et cetera, 27,000 fewer jobs. Illinois was second only to California in the bleeding of jobs, the loss of jobs. Since COVID began, we're down 414,000 jobs. And in the Chicago metropolitan area, 200, I think it's like well over 200,000. I think it's closer to 250,000. But that's what, yeah, that's what's happening to us.
And why in the world does Lori Lightfoot and Janice Jackson, who, by the way, both of their children do not go to Chicago public schools, they go to Catholic schools. So their kids, they set up rules that their kids don't have to follow.
Right.
And as a mom, and I'm the bottom of the barrel, I'm just going to admit it. We're not in a selective enrollment school. We are. We're the bottom. I'm trying not to cry today, but I'm very upset. We're the bottom of the barrel, and they don't give a rat's patoo about our kids. They don't. They don't. And I know some selective enrollment schools like Walter Payton Prep, who, you know, God bless some of the kids that got in there. That's a smaller school. So they could do it. Like, they could go back. Look, I think, know, because they don't have they're not a juggernaut like Lane Tech, where you have 4,000 kids.
You have,
I mean, how is that ever going to be possible?
You have well over 600 schools. I built 78 new school buildings when I was there and renovated well over 300. So you know, this whole idea that the buildings are unsafe. Well, some of the buildings are state-of-the-art buildings that have been built the last 10 or 15 years. And, of course, many of them have been renovated. You've got local school councils. Why can't schools decide? Why can't the local school councils and parents decide individually?
That's the best thing, because they decided about whether or not to have Chicago police
That's
officers
right.
in their
At
buildings.
The high school level. Why can't the local school councils decide whether or not to open their high schools? Because their kids, not only, I was told the other day, and I'm trying to confirm the data, because there are people in the police department who give me information and things like that, that, you know, close to 25% of the carjackings are being committed by teenagers.
Oh, I think it's higher than that.
You know,
we had
probably
six carjackings in our neighborhood, and the kids that were arrested, 16, 15, and 15. They should have been in school, but they logged in. My cop friend said that, well, they checked in, but then you leave.
Yeah, right.
And one of the reasons why they're doing that is because they have an older brother or sister or cousin.
Right.
If they get caught, they don't have to follow the same rule. They're not going to be prosecuted as harshly as if their cousin did.
But guess what?
Because he's 18 and older.
Guess what? The new COVID relief package, listen to this, gives the Chicago Public Schools $800 million. They've been closed for what? 300 days? $800 million.
No, what are they going to do with that money?
No plan to open high schools. $800 million. Think about it for a second.
All right, $800 million. I'm writing this down. $800
million.
I'm going to tweet
about this. I think statewide, the schools are getting four times the amount of money. And it wasn't even much of a debate. Schools that they got in the first COVID act, four times the amount of money. That means the schools would have gotten $1 billion from COVID. Think about it. They've lost enrollment for 17 consecutive years, including 14,500 this year. Early childhood enrollment for black kids, 44% drop. Latino kids, 30% drop. Think of the problems the district's going to have, because early childhood is so absolutely critical.
Oh,
800,
I know. $800 million.
You know what they should do with that money?
What?
They should extend the school year through the summer.
Oh,
so that
course.
They can make up that instructional
time. I would
time.
Do that.
Absolutely.
Because we're going to be coaching
That's
in
right.
the summer,
because
all
not?
These fall and winter sports are going to be pushed
A whole series
back.
Of activities, target kids who are academically struggling. I'll tell you what they also should do. If they're not going to open high schools in Chicago, they should take that elective money, because, you know, there are teachers who are not going to be teaching their electives remotely if the high schools even open at all. And they ought to create work-study jobs like Crystal Ray, the Jesuit Catholic school does, for their kids. They have work-study jobs for their kids, so they got them off the street. They're in school, and then they're in work, because these kids, I mean, the gangs are the only employers out there.
And I've seen kids that have, you know, using drugs to being huge drug dealers. Two of my former players, biggest drug dealers. And I told them, I go, you're stealing revenue from somebody else,
right.
and they're going to come and get you. When they come and get you, they're not going to shoot you. They're going to shoot your little sister.
Yeah.
Because they're not good shots.
Message to the governor in the state. The gangs aren't complying with your, like, COVID restrictions. You know,
no, they're not. They're not socially distancing. They're not wearing masks.
They're not wearing masks.
And they're recruiting people.
You know, they're not stopping their recruiting, because we're all supposed to be quarantined.
312-642-5600. Let's go to Ron in Salem, Wisconsin. You are on Chicago's Morning Answer. Hi, Ron.
Good morning, guys. I just wanted to mention, you didn't mention the suicide rate, divorce rate.
Of course.
And one more thing. I go to a church in Wisconsin. I've been going. It's been open since June. We get 250 people a week. One week we had 450 people. No one wears a mask. We shake hands. We have old farmers that go there. We have people in their 90s. We've had a couple people get COVID, nothing serious, and there's been no outbreak.
Ugh, I'm so jealous. I think that's why. Thanks, Ron, for the phone call. I think that's why I'm I'm not in the Christmas mood. Did not put up any Christmas decorations. This is the most Christmassy thing I've done. I'm wearing a glittery sweater. Didn't send out any Christmas cards. Not getting the Christmas cards like I used to get last year because
I... Me neither.
Well, I've distanced myself. I mean, and I don't know if they're depressed or not sending out cards, but I've lost a lot of friends this year because of Trump, because of these draconian lockdowns, and because basically I lost my mind. I'm admitting that. I do not understand this America that we're living in.
Well, I know what a pain it's been. We've talked plenty of time about the impact on kids. Oh, my God.
I've called you several times.
I know.
Crying. The worst part for me was when that first grader was raped by her older cousin, her older cousin, who's a senior in high school. He should be in school. Raped on a Zoom, on a Google Meets classroom. And other first graders saw him sexually assault her. I mean, what he did to her, people don't even know, and I can't even say on the radio because it's so disgusting. And the mainstream media didn't even talk about it. And the principal and the teacher's screaming, turn off your cameras, turn off your cameras, because she sees it going on. She jumps in the car with the principal. They go to her house because they're e-learning from grandma's house. He had been abusing her since March.
That's right.
On a daily basis because he could, because she's there, he's there. He doesn't know what to do. He doesn't have a girlfriend. And he was crying, saying, I'm so sorry, I just couldn't help myself. I'm bored. Because my friend is a cop who gave me the information. He said that the kid was bawling and just, you know, he just said, I was bored. I didn't know what else to do.
But you're right. How much attention was drawn to that? But because it doesn't fit the narrative.
It's freaking disgusting.
Because it's further evidence that this remote learning or they're creating this type of learning environment is not the healthiest or safest environment to create for young people. Ugh. You know, your classic example of where they sign in, right? So technically they're on. The teacher doesn't know because incidentally,
you have an option to not put your camera
on. And the unions fight because they don't want the administrators to be able to. I mean, if you're going to have synchronous learning where the children are in school and the children are learning online simultaneously, well, you know, they don't want people to watch the online remote learning that's going on. They don't want to see that it's not going on or that it's not happening. And look, you know, I'm criticizing the administrators for not being better prepared and for not digging in. And I criticize the unions who are not interested in these kids, because if these kids were interested, you wouldn't have 100,000 kids walking the streets of Chicago or in their homes alone in one of the poorest districts on the planet for going on 300 consecutive days. Ugh. And those are the ones I'm faulting.
Philip in Portage Park, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Hey, good morning. I'd actually like to say a couple things if I can this morning.
Sure.
The first is I work in home health. At the beginning of this, when everyone was terrified, including myself, I saw that giant insurgence of COVID cases. I had to treat those COVID cases when they came home and we still didn't know a lot about the virus. Now that I'm being told that we have this giant influx of cases, it's not being reflected in the community. It's not being reflected in the nursing home community anymore as well. They stick people in quarantine sections simply because they came from the hospital, not because they actually have COVID-19 as a precaution for the rest of the residents.
Oh.
So I'm not seeing it in the nursing homes. I'm not seeing it in the community. And I serve a very impoverished community here in Chicago, the entire West Side. I'd also like to say that you guys are talking about this e-learning.
Yeah.
My children are doing, you know, their homework until it's done. My senior sometimes till 10 o'clock at night, even my fifth grader who's struggling till about 8 or 9 o'clock at night, and we're helping her with her homework. In juxtaposition of that, on the West Side, I am seeing these kids all logged in and playing Fortnite and Call of Duty and Roblox and Minecraft since the beginning. So there's going to be a greater dispergency between education as time goes on, and it's going to be called systemic racism. But I'm telling you, it starts in the home.
All right. Thanks, Phil.
No doubt about it.
I know. On Thursdays, it's called Taking Care of Business Thursdays. So teachers don't have to teach. You're taking care of business.
Right.
And they didn't spell taking. It taken, apostrophe N, taking care of business.
Well, you know,
Thursday. So the teachers don't have to teach, which is fine. And I love Amundsen High School. I'm not, you know, it's hard. I'm in a sticky situation here because I absolutely love the principal and I absolutely believe in what she's doing. But that taking care of business thing is, it's a joke. But our kids are getting up at 7:45. They're sitting in front of the computer from 7:45 to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. My son, they have headaches. They have migraines. It's too much computer time. Well, they need to be in school.
Let me comment really quickly on the previous caller, because he makes the point about the divide only becoming greater. Only one in six black and Latino families can work remotely.
One in six.
So that means that they either can't work or their children are left home alone. And you know, while each of the income, the higher income and the middle income employment levels have returned to pre-COVID level, 34% fewer lower income jobs out there. In other words, 34% fewer jobs than pre-COVID. So what's happening is the socioeconomic, educational, academic divide is widening, and it's widening quickly. And, you know, the greatest impact is on working mothers, because during the month that
2 million women
during the
are
month
out
that,
of work.
During the month that schools returned, the first month that schools returned, 1.1 million jump in unemployment. 80% of them were working mothers. 80%.
This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560. The Answer. This is Chicago's Morning Answer.
Merry Christmas.
On AM 560.
Ho,
ho, ho, ho.
The Answer.
Good morning, the eve of Christmas Eve. Amy Jacobson here, Paul Vallis in for Dan Proft. You know, you're a radio shock jock. Did you know that?
Am I?
Well, because Pritzker, you know, we should find that soundbite. Justin, can you find it? Pritzker was talking, I don't even remember what it was, but he said, and some radio shock jock, and he was talking about
was
you
it?
And I.
Oh.
The day you filled in.
Oh, really?
And what was the, Justin, can you help me out? I'm blonde, and I'm really tired, and I'm very depressed. I can't remember the premise of the question, but it was a, yeah, he was talking.
And me too, right?
Yeah, and then Dan is like, oh, Paul Vallis, radio shock jock.
Oh, my God.
312-642-5600, turnkey.pro, answer line 64636, type in DA, then a quick comment. Folks, he's back after 6 days in hiding. President Trump came and delivered a four-minute message via Twitter, which is good. He didn't have the press corps asking him questions. And he talked about the stimulus package, this COVID relief bill, yet another one. $600? No, no, no. He wants more money for you. He wants $2,000.
Bill, which nobody in Congress has read because of its length and complexity. It's called the COVID relief bill, but it has almost nothing to do with COVID.
Darn
this
right.
Bill contains $85.5 million for assistance to Cambodia, $134 million to Burma, $1.3 billion for Egypt and the Egyptian military, which will go out and buy almost exclusively Russian military equipment.
Darn right.
$25 million for democracy and gender programs in Pakistan. $505 million to Belize, Costa Rica, El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, Nicaragua, and Panama. $40 million for the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C., which is not even open for business. $1 billion for the Smithsonian, and an additional $154 million for the National Gallery of Art. Likewise, these facilities are essentially not open.
And he wants more money, again, for you.
I am asking Congress to amend this bill and increase the ridiculously low $600 to $2,000, or $4,000 for a couple. I am also asking Congress to immediately get rid of the wasteful and unnecessary items from this legislation and to send me a suitable bill, or else the next administration will have to deliver a COVID relief package, and maybe that administration will be me, and we will get it done.
Now he had to say that. Come on. $600. Again, Sean from Elmwood Park has been in the last 2 days. He goes, $600, that's what people spend on lunch
right.
in Washington, D.C. That's not enough to pay the rent or for, you know, in my case, 2 weeks of groceries. Yeah, it's just not enough. 312-642-5600. I'm glad that Trump said that because, again, $135 million to Burma, $130 million to Nepal, that goofy gender programs for Pakistan, you know, the money to go. I mean, we're buying our friends. We're giving them money to say, don't bomb us, work with us. Here, paying for friendship. That's what this is. And I'm, you know, Rand Paul's always been ranting against foreign aid. I get that. But at this point in time, when small businesses, which are the backbone right. of our economy, are shut down, in Illinois alone, 11,200 small businesses are closed right now. We don't know if they're going to reopen, but that's real pain. Those are real numbers.
Illinois Policy reported 17,000 restaurants and bars have either shut down.
How much?
17,000. 11,000 retail, 17,000. You can Google it. They've done a series using using state data. So the question, there's a question, how many are actually going to reopen again? And again, I pointed out that not only is there an impact on small business owners, but there's an impact on poor working families.
Yeah.
Because again, while the employment data shows that upper income and middle income employment has returned to pre-pandemic levels, it hasn't grown, but it's returned to pre-pandemic levels, lower income categories statewide, 27-28% fewer jobs. In Chicago, it's 35%.
And it's not even foreign aid, but listen to this. President Trump outlined this beautifully. Listen to what else we're spending our tax dollars on.
$7 million for reef fish management.
Reef fish.
$25 million to combat Asian carp. $2.5 million to count the number of amberjack fish in the Gulf of Mexico. A provision to promote the breeding of fish in federal hatcheries. $3 million in poultry production technology. $2 million to research the impact of down trees. $566 million for construction projects at the FBI. The bill also allows stimulus checks for the family members of illegal aliens, allowing them to get up to $1,800 each. This is far more than the Americans are given.
That's a good point. 312-642-5600, turnkey.pro. Answer line. Let's go to Mike in Melrose Park. You're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Hey, good morning. You know what? You just played the soundbite that I heard last night with the 1800 for illegal immigrants. And that's what my point was going to be. And then you guys continued on. So,
no, that's true.
You're the only ones that...
It's ridiculous.
No, you're right. You're right. And you guys are the only ones that have played that since I heard it yesterday afternoon. No other news state, you know, I haven't heard it otherwise. So, good job.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
So, thank you.
Yeah,
thanks.
I mean, that's, you know, for Americans, you get 600, but if you're here illegally, you get 1800. That doesn't sit well with me. I'm sorry. And I know we can go on about the dreamers and all that, but I just think that.
Yeah, that may go a bit beyond the dreamers.
Exactly. Eduardo in Midway, you are on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Yeah, that was a popular one, the 1800, because I heard that on Rush. But why do you think the international news media like BBC and some of these other international news, why is that like a top story over there? I mean, they should be talking about COVID. Is that just because it's anti-Trump?
I don't know. I mean, what do you think, Paul? What do you think, Eduardo?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think it's the main reason because of the last comic where he says, well, maybe it'll be me who does the decision on signing or not signing that bill in January.
Yeah, I know. He's still stringing everybody along.
Right.
Yeah.
You know,
just until Congress votes on January 6th. So we'll see. I mean, there's still, you know, I mean, they've had 51 federal and state lawsuits filed against this election and have won zero. But I still can't wrap my head around 80 million people voting for Biden. Really? How many Biden signs did you see? I mean, 12 million more than voted for President Obama back in the day? Because Obama, that was a big craze. Everybody was excited. I would understand if 80 million people voted for Obama, but 80 million voting for Biden? And the first time in my life, I have covered elections in 7 different states that they stopped counting and told people to go home. If I was that reporter in Georgia in Fulton County at that arena and they said, okay, you guys, election monitors, you guys can go home, press, you go home, and they stayed, That's when I would have dug in my heels and said, I'm not leaving. Why would you? Why are you asking me to leave? We're not done here. And for them to kick them out and then count more ballots, I don't know. All those ballot dumps came in between 1:34 a.m. and 6:02 a.m. Have you ever seen that? It was, you've been a part of elections.
I mean, you
normally stay and you count until it's over.
Well, look, you know, this was a different election in so many ways, and certainly COVID had an impact.
Well, yeah, because all the mail-in ballots because
and
of COVID.
There, look, you know, I'm not one to say that there was a – look, this whole idea that people are trying to disenfranchise voters, I mean, these states have great autonomy over how they manage – how they manage their,
right,
their elections.
Right, because each state is in charge of
and
their
elections. And let's face it, you know, depending on the party in charge, there's always this effort to create conditions conducive to your voters getting out, and whether it's Republican states or Democratic states. So at the end of the, you know, because you've heard the accusations on resistance in red states to voter registration and things like that. So at the end of the day, now, do I believe that that determined the outcome of the election? No, I think Biden won, and at the end of the day, we just need to move on. The point that I've made, though, is that 72 million, or is it now 74 million people in this country did not vote for Biden, and the Democrats did not pick up. I don't think they picked up a single state house. Okay, and
no,
of course, Pelosi lost members, and of course, the Senate is still yet to be determined. So. We don't want to disenfranchise those voters. So at the end of the day, you know, that means there's 74 million people, or was it 72 million people in this country, and they have issues, and those issues need to be addressed. And if the Democrats want this to be more than a 4-year term, they're going to really have to. I mean, they're going to have to, you know, be a little more responsible than passing the type of legislation that Trump was commenting on in terms of the COVID Christmas tree bill, which is in effect what it is.
312-642-5600. Your phone call's coming up.
This is Chicago's Morning Answer.
Santa's coming to town.
Yeah! Oh my God!
On AM 560.
Santa here? I know him.
The Answer.
Oof. Yeah. We're going to get to that. Reverend Warnock, who's running against Kelly Loeffler for the Senate seat in Georgia. There's some new release video. He apparently, things aren't so good at home, but we'll get to that a little bit later. 312-642-5600, turnkey.pro. Anteline, President Trump says $600, not enough. He wants everyone to get $2,000. Tony in Downers Grove, you are on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Okay, Amy, I'm still trying to grasp my arms around you saying that the freshman who raped his first grade niece wouldn't have happened if he would have been in school, because, you know, that kid just doesn't have a problem, period. But that said, it's not about $2,000.
But he's a senior in high school, and he should have been in school.
Well,
because he's well, he had
well,
access to her because schools are locked down. The kids are
well,
shut
that's out. Great, but the kid obviously has a problem. I mean,
well, okay.
at some point, I mean, really, at some point, the kid's not going to do something like that. I think there's a bigger problem there, not just because he's home and he has access to her. That's kind of disturbing. That said, 2,000 doesn't matter if it's 3,000. This is about businesses not opening and people who have feigned their feigned anger about all this crap that's in this bill. How do these congressmen, congresswomen, senators put this stuff in a bill that and we say nothing about it? We're dupes, really. And this is the precursor to the whole Biden administration. There's stuff in there that's setting the table for what this administration is going to do down the road. And we need to wake up.
All right. Thanks, Tony. Here, turn your mic on.
Is my mic on?
Yeah. No, you're on.
Yeah, let me make a comment. Just what I got from your discussion of that crime that was committed was not so much it wouldn't happen if they were home, but the media not reporting it.
Right.
Because there is this tendency to take, you know, when there's something that reinforces the narrative that we have to shut down everything, it gets played again and again and again and again. But when there is something that drives home the point that having children home alone for extended periods of time, I mean, why aren't we getting the crime statistics in Chicago? I mean, 14 kids under the age of 10 have been murdered this year, and
14.
Three times the number have been shot. I mean, because these schools are closed, 100,000 kids walking the street. So what I took from your comments was the media, and I think you said it, the media's lack of attention
right.
to this because it doesn't fit the narrative about the shutdown.
Exactly. All right, let's go to Rich in Indian Head Park. Good morning, Rich. You're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Good morning, Amy. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning.
We got a couple of quick things. The first thing is I agree with President Trump. If there are things in there that doesn't pertain to the virus and helping the people in this country, knock them out.
Yeah.
Period. They shouldn't be in there. And the second thing is these politicians that are saying that our kids can't go to school, I think these are politicians and people in charge that have never played sports, because these kids look forward to going to school because they are involved in sports.
Yep.
And if you take that away from them, what's going to happen?
They have no reason to wake up in the morning. Yeah, they have no reason.
I know growing up, sports were a big part of my life. I don't know how my life would have turned out if I didn't play sports every day.
Yeah.
And the final thing is, Amy, the Biden got 80 million votes because they took the 40 million and they multiplied it by two.
All right. Thanks, Rich. Thanks for the phone call. Let's go to Mary in Tinley Park. Good morning, Mary.
Hey, Amy. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I want to just talk about transparency and truth. I feel like everything that we learn is always after the fact, like everything that's in this bill. And then I'm watching the news, and Lindsey Graham is on the news talking, you know, just trying to hype everybody up about the money they're sending to Pakistan for a gender program.
Right.
And I'm like, what planet am I on?
I know.
And then there's, you know, and at the same time, you know, I'm reading reports at the bottom of my TV screen that say the Russians and China flew planes in the Western Pacific. Mm-hmm. And no one talks about that. It's mm-hmm. like, are they missing that? I mean, it's just so frustrating.
I know. Thanks, Mary, for your phone call. Let's quickly go to, who should we go? Bill in LaSalle County.
Hi,
Bill.
Good morning, Amy and Paul.
Good morning.
Paul, I have to disagree with your comment that red states are trying to prevent people from voting. Most of the cases that have come into the courts with the red states passing law have to do with voter ID. Now, if we are going to require everybody to walk around with a vaccination ID, what is wrong with asking that the person who presents themselves at a polling place is actually the person that it is, as opposed to a dead person that still is on the voter rolls?
I know. We need to clean the voter rolls, and we need to end
mail-in
ballot.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that.
I mean, honestly, and I just want to squeeze this. Well, we'll talk about it on the other side.
But the point that I was trying to make is that these states have a lot of autonomy, and the parties in power. I mean, look at the Democrats have controlled Illinois for how many years? And
when was the last time we had a Republican mayor? I think 1921?
Yeah, well, yeah, right.
One of my FBI agents and I, we were looking through. We were like, when was the last time we had a Republican in charge?
But the point is, the way they draw these legislative maps, I mean, you know, because the states have so much autonomy, the parties in power and the parties that dominate, it's in their interest to create conditions more conducive for them getting their votes out. Look, with all the flack that Madigan has taken and all the bad publicity that they've gotten, yet he can, what did he lose, a couple House seats? I mean, he continues to control the House. Why? Because the map is like, it's almost impossible to break that overwhelming majority because of the way those legislative maps have been written. Had there been a Republican-dominated legislature, they would have written the map to benefit them.
Right.
So at the end of the day, it is what it is. And it's obviously not right, but that's the reality.
The stories you need to know to start your day. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer. If you're looking for the latest news, insight into what
song.
It means, and the sharpest opinion, there's only one station in Chicago where you can turn. That's this one. We're AM 560.
You know this song, Paul?
The Answer.
I'm winning. Santana, right? I'm winning. Ah. Bum, bum, bum. Am I ready? I had a dream, but it turned to dust. No?
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
no,
okay,
no,
now
yeah.
I'm winning. Never. Thank you, Justin Kosick. Real quick. So the other day I had to pull out my piece for the first time ever. I've got a 9mm, I've got a shotgun, double barrel.
Really?
And I have a .38 special, which I've had for a long time. And I was driving to Hammond, because that's what I do, because we can't play.
With your piece.
With my piece. Always my piece is in my car. Because that's where we play sports. You know, Pritzker shut mm-hmm. everything down, but we said
so
no.
So you go to Indiana, you cross the border.
Yeah, so we'll play Hinsdale Central in Hammond. Or Bartlett, we played the other day. West Chicago, we play, that's what we do. Zero cases of COVID. We've been doing this since June 1st. So, you know, we wear masks, socially distance. And these women in front of me decided to dump all of their McDonald's, you know, the bag, the tray.
Out the window.
Out the window. As well as a steering wheel cover. They threw that out, too. And I was honking at them and flashing my brights. And I, like, thank you. And I said, hey, don't litter. Because I'm the person, I pick up garbage on my street. I pick garbage in the park. If I'm outside Amundsen High School and I see garbage, I always pick up garbage. And it's my pet peeve when people litter. Because I've been to Haiti. I've been to Dominican Republic. I've been to Puerto Rico, Mexico. And if we let this continue, we will look like those countries. Because nobody cares. They just throw garbage out the window. These women in front of me, oh, dear Lord. She gets out. She's like, you white B-word. You're a rich white B-word. And I'm like, I'm driving a used minivan from 2008. I'm not rich. Thank you. And then she threw her car into park. I'm on the inbound Kennedy near the Jane Byrne interchange on the way to Hammond. And then she decides to mess with me for about 5 minutes. I called 911. I called Illinois State Police because that's their jurisdiction. I said, I'm letting you know I had the plate number. They're threatening me. Her passenger was leaning out the window going, we're going to kill you, you white rich biatch. The truck driver sees this behind me. He lets me in to get away from them. And then they keep circling me. They keep going around and around. So finally, I'm like, you know what? I got out my 38 special and I waved it at them. And I said, don't mess with me. And then they took off and I never saw them again. But I... Don't mess with Amy J and the used minivan. So that's my getting out my peace story, Justin, because I've been telling Justin about it, but I never completed the story. So,
well, of course, when I was dating my wife, she was already a police officer.
Oh, yeah. So she carries, right?
So, yeah, I'd go to the ball game. She'd be carrying anywhere we go. Movies, she'd be carrying. I just felt a whole lot bolder when I was with her. You know
I mean? I know. And I know I probably shouldn't have pulled out the piece, but I had to protect myself. And you know what? I was sick of being bullied.
You're in the truck.
I mean, come on. Leave me alone. All right, let's switch gears here. Dominic Green, PhD, and you can follow him on Twitter at Dr. Dominic Green, life and arts editor of The Spectator. He's joining us once again on our turnkey.pro answer line to talk about what is going on in the UK with this new strain of the coronavirus. Good morning, Dominic. How are you?
Good morning, and I just want to confirm that I clear up after myself very carefully.
Thank you. All right, so we keep hearing this new strain that's, you know, at first it was 70% contagious, then it was down to 40, now up to 50, and everything's locked down in the UK. What's going on over there?
Well, they're calling it Plague Island at the moment. the new strain, it has appeared elsewhere, but it really seems to have taken on in Britain with a vengeance. And the result is that they were put through a third lockdown in November. And Boris Johnson promised that people would be able to enjoy a normal Christmas if they put up with it. But what's happened since coming out of lockdown in early December is, of course, these numbers have gone through the roof. The death rate hasn't. Death rate is still about half of what it was during the first spike in March and April. But the case numbers are pretty much ranging out of control. And as you say, there's no clear information on whether this new variant is seriously contagious or mildly contagious or, you know, is going to affect the death rate at all. But that fits the general picture, which is that the British government has been flat-footed at every single stage of this virus, and they seem to have done a bit worse than many other governments.
Well, and what about, you know, travel bans? Because I know 40 countries have said we're not taking any flights from the UK. Here in America, they're letting people come in, but they have to get, well, they, I shouldn't say that. Delta and British Airways, they're letting you travel, but you have to take a test first before you get on the flight to America.
Yeah, this is true. I mean, it's not the first time Britain has been treated as an international pariah, but it's not nice, is it? At one point, traffic across the Channel Tunnel was closed between Britain and France, and there were massive tailbacks of lorries. And at that point, you wonder, is this because of the coronavirus, or was it because of the other crisis which the Johnson government is trying to deal with, which is the late stage of the Brexit negotiations, which are meant to finish before the end of the year? And are jammed. And as Oscar Wilde would have said, if he'd been in lockdown, you know, once is unfortunate, but twice looks like carelessness. And both of these things are coming to a head at the same time.
Hey, Dominic, I have a question. Have they closed schools or are schools still open? Because I remember after the first lockdown, Boris said that he would never close schools again, that that was a, a mistake.
Now, Paul, you're right. These schools have remained open. And this is in sharp contrast, of course, to the U.S. Mm-hmm. The teachers' union in Britain has not been happy about it, but schools have remained open.
Good for you.
And in fact, a lot more stuff has remained open in Britain, and that might be one reason, combined with the fact that people there are not very keen on washing their hands and do like to congregate in pubs. These two factors, as an amateur. And I remember, as a doctor, I know about as much as Dr. Jill does.
Oh, that's right. You have a PhD.
I'm not going to write.
You're not a real doctor.
No, I'm not a real doctor at all.
But what did you write your dissertation on?
Tables at restaurants. My dissertation was on British and American politics during the American Revolution. And so, you know, that has nothing at all to do with the coronavirus. But I'm willing to give advice anyway.
So what do you think in here in America, you know, certain states are under lockdown, California, Illinois, New York, but some restaurant owners are fighting back and remaining open. Is that happening at all in London?
Yes, it has. There's been a big controversy over what constitutes a proper meal, because the law was changed that you could go to a pub, but you had to have food with your drink. And, of course, there's been a long controversy over whether the food in Britain is a proper meal at all. But in this case, it turned on something called the Scotch egg. And for listeners of a delicate disposition should prepare themselves for this, because the Scotch egg is a boiled egg, which is then wrapped in raw minced meat, dipped in batter, and then deep fried. Don't do it. Yeah, it's a bar snack, and it was only historically eaten in emergencies.
I was in Bridgend, Wales once, and I could not believe how many people drink a pint in the morning. Like instead of coffee, they'll have a pint and then they'll go to work. And so they'll,
yes.
I mean, are they open for breakfast or everything's completely?
Well, the pubs are open, but not now. They're not, of course. Right. Everything has been shut down. But this is my impression from talking to people is that everybody there is refusing to comply and are secretly arranging illegal Christmas lunches and mixing more than they're allowed to because people there have had enough. And that, of course, is going to accelerate the spread of the virus. And they've pretty much started to lose confidence in their government. Comparing the U.S. to the U.K., though, I don't think it's fair on the U.S. The U.S. is so huge. I think if we compare the U.S. to the entire European area, that would make more sense. Mm-hmm. And then you see a very different picture. You know, I think Britain's situation is more comparable, say, to that of New York State, where a highly populated area has had it badly mismanaged.
Right.
And then you see similar things with the restaurants. But if you compare other areas of the U.S., then actually things have been done very well. And if you compare the rollout of the vaccine, then it's a very different picture. You know, obviously, Britain jumped ahead by authorizing the vaccine, but the U.S. is already rolling it out. Compare that to the European Union, where all is chaos. The German government said it wouldn't give its people only the American vaccines, it would also, in the name of European solidarity, buy a French vaccine. But then the French regulators hadn't authorized it. So now Germany is missing half its vaccine supplies, and they can't start vaccinating people in most of the European countries because they've said we'll do it all at the same time. So compared to that, you know, Britain could be doing a lot worse. So it's a very complicated picture, but the one thing I would conclude from this is that the public feels that they have been misled by Boris Johnson, who's always an optimist and always promising that things are going to get better. And in this case, he's not been able to deliver.
Do you think he's done as prime minister?
Well, he's got four more years. So you have to, you know, if they held an election tomorrow, you'd have to wonder how it would go. His own party are very unhappy with him. A lot of his own MPs don't actually like him. He's not someone who has a sort of big base within his own party. But he's crawling along in the polls, and the public, you know, have no choice. After all, they're stuck with him.
Mm-hmm.
So I reckon he's got more tricks up his sleeve. I think 2021, with a bit of luck, will be a very different year to 2020.
All right, Dominic Green, thank you so much for joining us. He is you can follow him on Twitter, at Dr. Dominic Green, Life and Arts Editor of The Spectator. Thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate it, and have a wonderful holiday.
And to you.
Thank you. And he joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560.
Merry Christmas, you filthy animal.
The Answer. This is Chicago's Morning Answer.
Merry Christmas.
On AM 560.
Ho, ho, ho.
The Answer.
Good morning. Amy Jacobson here. Paul Vallis in for Dan Prof. Normally, Bruce Wolf is here the week before Christmas, but he can't make it. But stay tuned at 8:35. You guys might get a little surprise because normally we sing a Christmas song. Paul, and are you do you sing by the any chance?
Not well. Only when I'm by myself in the shower.
can you say no?
No.
See, okay. No, do it again. No.
No.
No. Are you? You say no, and I'm going to harmonize with you. Ready?
No.
No. Oh boy. All right. Well,
big trouble here.
I have to work on that.
The dog howls. The dog howls when I sing.
Yeah. The person that thank you, Justin. The person that joins us on the eve of Christmas Eve, we always sing a Christmas carol at the end of the show. So hopefully Bruce will call in, take the pressure off of you, so we can sing a song. All right, what are the real COVID numbers in Illinois? With this, let's welcome back to the program Ted Dabrowski. He's president at Wire Points. If you don't have this on Twitter, you need to go to Wire Points. They are the best with all the information, everything COVID. Good morning, Ted, and welcome back to the show. How are you?
Good morning, Amy. Good morning, Paul. Thanks for having me on.
So, Ted, do you sing?
Do I sing? I used to sing when I was younger, but you know, it just gets harder and harder every day.
Were you in show choir or choir? Or are you just sing?
I do some of that stuff, a little bit of stuff, but yeah, but no, I'm no good anymore.
Okay.
I gave up on that.
All right. So what are the real, what's the truth behind these Illinois COVID numbers and the COVID deaths? How many are associated with nursing homes and long-term care facilities?
Well, yeah, well, that's a big deal right now. And I think what's happening in LaSalle Veterans Home and the news behind it kind of captures the whole essence of everything that's wrong in Illinois, especially around COVID. So everybody knows that we've had about 34 deaths in the LaSalle Veterans Home. And that's tragic, and it's attracting lots of attention. And finally, you know, Amy, I know you've been, you know, trying to get some much more attention on this, but finally we've got some outrage, some demand to what the heck happened? How did it happen so fast? And, you know, rightfully, when it comes to veterans, we want to take care of them and we want to know the answers fast. But what's fascinating about this is that, you know, there's 34 deaths at the Veterans Home. Well, there have been 7,500 deaths related to retirement homes in all of Illinois, not Veterans Homes, but just retirement homes. That's half of all the deaths in Illinois. Mm-hmm. We're talking about the equivalent of 220 LaSalle homes, Ugh. And yet you don't see the outrage. You don't see the investigations. You don't see legislators, you know, falling over each other trying to solve the problem. Yes, half of the deaths. We never took care of those retirement homes, even though it was signaled way before the virus got to the U.S. that this was going to be the problem. And I think, you know, when you look at it, you know, the governor and the officials knew where those people lived, you know, who they are, the addresses of every retirement home. It's on IDPH's site. And yet we never figured out how to target them. Instead, we targeted restaurants and small stores. It's been a colossal mistake, and I think it comes to life when you look at LaSalle.
Hey, Ted, hasn't the surge, since this, like, November surge, hasn't it been even greater in terms of the retirement homes? I think I saw a statistic, what was it, 70, 75%? It was Mr. Glennon did kind of an op-ed in Wire Points. So the recent surge.
So,
Yeah,
so every day, you know, we publish on Wire Points, we publish the state data, we repackage it and try to tell it in a way that people want to know it. And we dig for a little bit more than what the state puts out because the state doesn't put out very much. But, yeah, what we do is we track every week the number of retirement home deaths, you know, what share of all deaths were retirement home deaths. And, you know, for the whole year, it's been 50%.
Mm-hmm.
But recently, you know, we're 9 months into this pandemic, and it was 63% from the week of December 11th to the 18th, 605 deaths. That's a record number of retirement home deaths in Illinois.
605 deaths. And Pritzker acts like it's not a big deal, that this is not a problem. He has said repeatedly, you know, we're doing what we can. But even in LaSalle, the VA, we know that five employees who are asymptomatic, they went to work. And they had to go to work because if they didn't go to work, people would be in soiled diapers and in dirty sheets.
Yeah, you know, this is, you know, look, it's hard to talk about COVID, right? Because it's been a mess everywhere in the country, everywhere. But if there was one thing that was signaled before everything started, you know, we knew in Italy when people were dying that the overwhelming majority were over 80 or over 70 years old. They had infirmity, some kind of pre-existing condition. We knew they were in retirement homes and nursing homes. And, you know, the first cases we had in Illinois were in Kirkland in Washington State, where whatever it was, 30-something people died. We knew it.
Yep.
And yet here we are 9 months into this thing.
Right.
We're still having the same problem.
And it makes me sick that Governor Cuomo has been celebrated. He got a Kennedy honor, and then he got the International Daytime Emmy Award. And if I was him, you have blood on your hands because almost 10,000 people who died were in retirement homes or nursing homes, people that were infected that he sent back into those homes. And he's being celebrated for that. That it behooves me.
And if you remember, you know, how he bragged about how states have to go it alone and they have to take unilateral action because of the, you know, the absentee federal government on COVID. But yet, when they had all the deaths in the nursing homes, they were quick to blame the Trump administration, basically claiming that they were following federal guidelines. So it's like, it's the double standard. It's just, and you know, let me point out that, you know, Ted's exactly right. Ted's reported, or WirePoint has been reporting from the beginning how the elderly, those with comorbidities, and of course those in the nursing homes are most at risk, and that's where we should have focused our resources.
Right.
But they've been also pointing out from the beginning the group that's least at risk and that's been subject to statewide, if not nationwide, shutdowns, and that's the kids in the schools.
Right.
Where there's a 99.997%
survival rate.
In Chicago alone, I think the young people 19 years and younger, four or five have died from COVID, yet well over 100 have been murdered. So, I mean, come on, people.
Four or five have died, and they all had comorbidities.
They
were
all had
able to find that out. One had, you know, inverted bowel, one, you know, I mean, it is so sick what we're doing to our children. But the thing is, Ted, we're not going to get back to normal unless old people stop dying. And that's what old people do. Old people, if you get into a nursing home, you have 6 months to a year average lifespan. And everything's a COVID death because there's money attached to it. So there's always going to be fraudulent behavior because of the money, don't you think?
Well, you know, I think you know, once we get these vaccines in place, at least we'll start getting back to some kind of normalcy. Mm. But I think the big thing is that, you know, this whole, you know, arguments have gotten so convoluted. And, you know, when we talked about protecting retirement homes, and, you know, it's not always just nursing home, right? Right. We're talking about some people who might live 5-7 years, right? Some people live a long time.
Right.
In nursing, different types of homes, right? It all depends on which type of home it is.
Right.
And, you know, one of the biggest things we'll see about this whole COVID crisis is how it destroyed the exchange of ideas and the exchange of free discussion on data. When we wrote about this back in April and May, you know, we're harping on, hey, protect the retirement homes. And, you know, some groups, Cranes, others, try to say we were trying to throw grandma under the bus. And we weren't trying to do that. We're trying to protect grandma. And it turns out, you know, months later, we were right. You know, and this has become one of the sad outcomes of this whole crisis. And it also shows how backwards our policies were, as Paul said. You know, here we are closing schools when we should take all those resources
mm-hmm.
and put them towards retirement homes. It's backwards, upside down.
I mean,
and, you know, we'll look back at this and say how upside down our policies were trying to tackle COVID.
Just think of it. There was no controversy in this bill, no controversy in giving schools
$82 billion.
Chicago public schools that have been closed for what? Going on? Are we
Since
going on
March.
10 months now? 300
yeah.
days? $800 million on top of the $200 million.
Well, what are they going to do with that
have.
Money?
I mean, yeah.
I mean, you used to be the CEO of CPS.
Yeah,
what do you do with the federal funds or the?
Well, I'll tell you what you do.
They know how to spend it.
They know how to spend it. I'll tell you what I would do. I would extend the school year through the summer. Mm-hmm. In other words, I would keep schools. I would reopen schools and I would keep them open through the summer because there's no more important investment in education than instructional time on task. And so that you could sit down with these kids, assess and evaluate where they're at, and you provide them with 10 weeks of intensive instruction and the other related supports that these children need to recover. Because all the data involving kids is moving in the negative direction. Opioids, teen suicides.
Yeah, we have an epidemic in this pandemic, and it's called suicides and drug addiction. And alcohol addiction, I mean, it's bad.
The gap is widening. I think I pointed out the impact on working families. 35% of the low-income families in the city of Chicago have lost their jobs, whereas the middle and upper-income categories, households have recovered their pre-pandemic levels. So at the end of the day, that's how I would spend the money.
God, why aren't you our mayor? I mean, life would be so – I keep thinking about if Bruce Rauner was here, if you were our mayor, life would be different, don't you think? I mean, Ted, do you think so?
Well, it'd certainly be different, for sure.
Yeah.
And I think what's sad about all this is that what Paul just said and what we've been saying is it doesn't get the light of day in the press. It doesn't get the light of day in policies because what we're saying is the facts, but nobody cares about those facts. Right? They go counter the narrative, and I think that's the big deal is that when we finish this COVID crisis, there's got to be a big reckoning of how we handle this. Right? Are we going to let bureaucrats decide next time who's essential, what stays open, what stays closed? Are we going to, let the governor, not the legislature, have just run the state by executive order? This is crazy.
I know. We have one branch of government right now.
Yeah,
and that is really scary. Who would think that you'd wake up and the governor has more control over your children than you do?
We also,
it's like a perpetual nightmare.
We also have
the legislature.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Ted. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say the legislature totally, dropped their responsibility, right? They haven't met. They're finally considering meeting. And, one of the first things they should do is strip Governor Pritzker of his executive order. And they should start making the decision so we can hold somebody accountable. But, the way this is going, we have no way to do that. And this is a legislature that's just totally abrogated its responsibilities.
Well, you've seen the same thing in the city council. Yesterday they convened a hearing on that unfortunate raid. How about the hearing on the dramatic increase in crime? How about the hearing on the degrading of the police department with this disastrous reorganization structure that has taken 1,400 police officers out of the districts?
Oh my God.
I mean, the 20th district, I think two Fridays ago, had, two cars patrolling the entire district? Because what they've done is they've created these two citywide
detective districts.
Right,
divisions. We used to have five, and now we have three.
Yeah, they're playing with the detective. But, the point to make here is they've been both the legislature and the city council. Where's the accountability? No one's questioning. And we've got people like Lightfoot and J.B. Pritzker who have never built anything. They've never really managed anything.
And they've never played sports.
Obviously never played. Well,
no,
what they're doing is they're making unilateral decisions and they're creating the perception of action. They can have their press conferences every day. And they can
pat themselves on the back.
That's
like,
right.
We're doing such a great job.
So
and my approval ratings are up. I mean, he actually said that when he doesn't understand the fair tax that was shot down. That was a reflection on him. And he doesn't get that. And he thinks that, just the Republicans voted. No, Democrats voted against that alleged fair tax, too. That's why it went down.
People in labor voted against the fair tax amendment.
Now, this is a tough thing we run against. At Wire Points, we did a poll of the city of Chicago and including much of the inner city. And it was still amazing, though, despite COVID restrictions, despite the riots, despite the unemployment, Lightfoot still had something like a 61% approval rating, and Pritzker had a 63%. And this is the tough part: is that a lot of people have a hard time, and the press, I think, is a big part of it. The press helps keep the image or the perception of their management of the city and the state positive, when in fact, as we would just discuss now, it's been destructive. And this is the hard part we have to do as groups that are trying to get the truth out, right? It's a big challenge for us.
Well, we need a very strong candidate to run against Pritzker in 2022, that's for sure. All right, Ted Dabrowski, we're going to leave it there for today. Thank you so much, and I love your work. He is president at Wire Points. You should all check it out at wirepoints.com. And thank you for joining us. Happy holidays.
Hey, thanks, Amy. Thanks, Paul. You guys have a great Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
Right, you too. Thank you. And he joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
This is Chicago's Morning Answer.
This is a full-blown four-alarm holiday emergency here.
On AM 560.
We're going to have the happiest Christmas since Bing Crosby tap dance with Danny F***ing K.
The Answer. Only the biggest stories. Only the biggest guests. And only the biggest opinions. This is AM 560, The Answer.
All right, who sings this song? Name that tune.
Terrible.
Gloria, what's your name? Can you help me out, Justin? Gloria Branigan? No, Laura Branigan. Laura Branigan, yes. I remember watching her once on Saturday Night Live. She was so hammered. She couldn't even sing, and she's like, calling Gloria. I mean, it was so awful. They should have pulled the plug on her. All right, 312-642-5600, turnkey.pro. Answer line 64636-DA. Done a quick comment. President Trump, we haven't seen him in 6 days.
He's back.
Posted a tweet 4 minutes long saying $600 is not enough. The government closes the economy. You lose your job. You face eviction. And we're just going to throw you $600. That's not going to do anything. So President Trump wants to give every American $2,000, $4,000 for a couple.
For example, among the more than 5,000 pages in this bill, which nobody in Congress has read because of its length and complexity, it's called the COVID relief bill, but it has almost nothing to do with COVID. This bill contains $85.5 million for assistance to Cambodia, $134 million to Burma, $1.3 billion for Egypt and the Egyptian military, which will go out and buy almost exclusively Russian military equipment. $25 million for democracy and gender programs in Pakistan. $505 million to Belize, Costa Rica, El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, Nicaragua, and Panama. $40 million for the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C., which is not even open for business. $1 billion for the Smithsonian, and an additional $154 million for the National Gallery of Art. Likewise, these facilities are essentially not open.
And so President Trump wants to give everyone $2,000, as we just mentioned. He might not sign this COVID relief bill because it's going to be on his desk today. He wants Congress to go back to work and amend it and change it to give Americans more money because a lot of people need it.
I am asking Congress to amend this bill and increase the ridiculously low $600 to $2,000,
yes,
or $4,000 for a couple. I'm also asking Congress to immediately get rid of the wasteful and unnecessary items from this legislation and to send me a suitable bill, or else the next administration will have to deliver a COVID relief package. And maybe that administration will be me, and we will get it done. Thank you very much.
I miss him, especially after listening to Biden's year-end remarks yesterday, where it was all doom and gloom, and we're in for a dark winter. I mean, should I slit my wrists or hang myself?
I know the task before us won't be easy. It's tempered by the pain so many of us are feeling. Today, our nation passed a grim milestone. 300,000 deaths due to this COVID virus. My heart goes out to each of you in this dark winter of the pandemic.
Dark, dark.
About to spend the holidays and the new year with a black hole in your hearts, without the ones you loved at your side. My heart goes out to all of you who have fallen in hard times through no fault of your own.
Because of the government.
Unable
shutdowns.
To sleep at night, staring at the ceiling, weighed down by the worry of what tomorrow will bring for you, and equally important for your family.
Oh, my God. Doom and gloom. It's going to be a dark winter. I mean,
it is.
This is, we're going to have 4 years of this, or maybe 2 years, or maybe 1 year, because he's not doing well. Have you noticed Jill is always, always with him? When he got his vaccine shot yesterday, she's standing there like, come on, honey. Let's go now. This way. Come on. We're going over here. And after he delivered that speech, after the Electoral College voted, right by his side, and she literally grabbed his hand, Paul, and led him off stage, not allowing any press to ask questions. I mean, this is what people signed up for? Are you kidding me? 312-642-5600, turnkey.pro. Answer line 64636, type in DA, then a quick comment. I loved that President Trump laid out what is exactly in the bill. Because you know what Nancy Pelosi always said, pass the bill, then you find out what's in it. Well, here's some other things that the mainstream media kind of glosses over.
$7 million for reef fish management, $25 million to combat Asian carp, $2.5 million to count the number of amberjack fish in the Gulf of Mexico.
I don't know.
A provision to promote the breeding of fish in federal hatcheries, $3 million in poultry production technology, $2 million to research the impact of down trees, $566 million for construction projects at the FBI. The bill also allows stimulus checks for the family members of illegal aliens, allowing them to get up to $1,800 each. This is far more than the Americans are given.
How is that possible? $1,800 for people who are here illegally, and we get $600?
Well, you know, let me tell you, I want to make a broader comment on the possibilities that he may veto that. Of course, you know, Pelosi and AOC, they're all enthusiastic. Bigger the bill, the better. They wanted a $2 trillion bill, and they wanted a massive bailout for cities and counties.
And Pelosi could have signed this bill, by the way, back in November, the first week of November, but she did not want Trump to look good. She's to blame for this. You know, it's been 6 months since people have had a stimulus check.
First of all, you have to understand that there is no money there for state or municipalities. And Pritzker's budget is built around a massive COVID bailout. They have a $3.2 billion budget deficit. They borrowed only state in the nation took advantage of that Federal Reserve loan program. They borrowed $3 billion. Lightfoot's budget, 80% of the budget is either borrowing in effect, what they're doing is they're delaying payments on debt, scoop and toss, and unspecified one-time savings. So what's going to happen here? I mean, you're talking about the city, $800 million in either one-time monies or not yet identified savings, and then you have the state with billions that they owe the federal government and $1 billion. So that's not there. That's not in that bill.
But why don't they cut spending? Why don't, you know, the private sector people lost jobs. We at Salem, we, you know, 40 people lost their jobs across this country. Everyone took pay cuts, but not government. The most security you can have right now is if you have a government job. And that is wrong. Well, because they need to suffer like everybody else's.
The mistake that they made is not taking action early on. If you remember, I did an infamous op-ed back in early May, basically saying, now it's time for a contingency plan. Let's come up. You have $926 million in TIF money being diverted to subsidize these developments that are almost totally controlled by City Hall. You got $1.8 billion in TIF revenues. You got a school district that's been closed that lost another 15% of their student enrollment, 17 consecutive years of declining enrollment with a record $8.4 billion budget. Well, you know, in May, they could have begun both at the state and local level initiating actions that would have put them in a healthier fiscal position.
But they didn't do it.
Because they don't know
how to govern. They don't know how to lead.
They not only don't do that and they didn't want to take the risk, but they were just, it's like waiting for Biden. But the irony when history is written, and who knows, maybe Biden will come in and will get a massive bailout for counties and for blue states, for cities. Maybe that'll happen. But the bottom line is they could have had a sizable bailout, but they didn't want to put a bill on Trump's desk to sign. So as a result, they gambled and they lost. The question is, is there going to be an opportunity to recover? So this is a real problem here What's the city going to do? Not fill another 1,000 police vacancies, or what are they going to slash and burn? And, you know, they passed a budget that automatically increases property taxes every year forever. What are they going to do?
For the foreseeable future.
That's right.
Everyone pays what, about $56 more?
Well, they say I don't remember what the exact number was, but you know, again, if your house is reassessed, you're paying a lot more. And what happens is that your costs become compounded.
Yep.
They come over the years. You know, there was a story written about the Home Alone house. Remember?
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah.
You remember that story? And they said, what have they paid in property taxes since the movie? Since the movie came out, was it like $1.2 million in property taxes over the years for one home? So what happens is it's like the pensions, it's like the cost of living, the compounding of the cost of living. You're compounding the increases in your property taxes every year. And even though it's supposed to be limited to the rate of inflation, it doesn't preclude the council from raising it even more. So what are they going to do? They're going to go back to property taxpayers and ask them for more? They're going to cut more cops? I mean, at the end of the day, it's just it's the lack of planning, the lack of foresight. It's just irresponsible.
Candace, you're Candace from Mount Pleasant. Good morning, Candace. How are you?
Good morning. Hey, I just want to let you guys know, do you know if they still are not paying people back for their property tax, for their taxes, you know, their tax return?
I got mine. You didn't? You haven't got
yeah, they are. Yeah.
I have a theory, Amy, and I'd like you to ask Pritzker, are they withholding people's taxes when they moved out of state out of spite?
Oh.
That's what I think is going on.
That's right, because you moved to Wisconsin. Huh. You're one of the lucky ones.
I think that's going on.
Okay.
I do.
Yeah, we should
check
that
out. Well, thanks, Candace.
Thank you.
Hey, have a happy holidays, dear. I'm sure she meant to say you too, Amy. George in Libertyville, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Hey, Amy, your guest is spot on with these property taxes that we always complain about.
His name is Paul Vallis. Paul Vallis.
I've been called spot Paul. Before.
Hi, Paul. But did you know that 70% of all the workers in Cook County either work for one form of federal government or another, or the Chicago public school system? This is never going to change.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
More doom and gloom. Now we're sounding like Biden.
This is Chicago's Morning Answer.
I want Christmas. Just give me plain baby Jesus lying in a manger. Christmas.
On AM 560, The Answer.
All right, the stimulus bill again. We're paying foreign countries to love us, not to go to war with us, really. I mean, $135 million to Burma, $8.5 million to Cambodia. It's a joke, but I really don't think President Trump's going to sign this, which means lawmakers have to stay in D.C. over the Christmas holiday. So, all right, real quickly, I wanted to get this in before we go to break. Reverend Warnock, he's running against Kelly Loeffler, who, by the way, is from Illinois, a University of Illinois grad.
Mm-hmm.
And some new video has been released. He apparently ran over his ex-wife's foot. This happened in March of 2020.
All right, so you won't know.
This man's running for the United States Senate, and all he cares about right now is his reputation. I work at the mayor's office, and this is a big problem.
Okay.
I've been trying to be very quiet about the way that he is for the sake of my kids and his reputation. I've tried to keep the way that he acts under wraps for a long time, and today he crossed the line. So that is what is going on here, and he's a great actor. He is phenomenal at putting on a really good show.
Granted, they got divorced. Their divorce was finalized and sealed 2 months ago. But that's pretty damning audio and video to be released, you know, weeks away from an election, don't you think?
It sounded kind of convincing to me. But it is. Hey, look, elections are like that. I mean, brace yourself if you want to run for public office.
Everything's going to come out.
Well, you remember when Ryan ran against Obama, his divorce papers, remember?
Oh, that's right.
And
that brought down Jack Ryan.
That brought down Jack Ryan. He probably had a good chance in that race. And he was
charismatic
and sharp guy. Had done stuff in the community, you know, a self-made millionaire. Who
and then
obviously
went to
did not,
teach it to Paul. Or not. Yeah. What is this?
Was it Hales Franciscan or it was?
Was it 35th in Michigan, right by police headquarters?
Yeah, he was teaching in the inner city.
DeSable? No, DeSable.
Maybe it was DeSable.
Oh my God,
I don't remember. But the point is, he was teaching in the inner city. But yeah, they got a copy of his sealed divorce papers, and that was it. It was all over for him.
That's crazy.
So yeah, just brace yourself.
I remember then he dropped out, and Alan Keyes ran.
I know.
And I was there when Alan
talking about
Keyes,
winning the lottery.
Alan Keyes moved into his apartment. I think it was in Cal City. He literally, are you ready for this? He brought a potted, he had a U-Haul.
Uh-huh.
What was in the U-Haul? A bed, a dresser, and a potted plant. A plastic potted plant. And I'm like, are you kidding me? We know you're not moving in here.
Yeah.
Coming up on Chicago's Morning Answer, speaking of moving, we'll check in with Dave Ruggles, who moved out of Illinois. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk to some listeners who are planning to move out as well. But now let's head into the newsroom for news here at home and around the world. Here is Mike Scott. Good morning, Mike.
Amy, you know what happened 10 years ago today?
What?
They found that dress in Rahm Emanuel's
the wedding
attic.
Dress.
Oh, the wedding dress?
Yeah, he kept the wedding dress there.
10 years ago today, he was able to run for mayor.
Oh, that's crazy. Remember the guy who rented his house?
Yeah. I do.
Filed papers to run against him?
Yeah. My wedding dress. My wife's wedding dress is here. I live here. My wife's wedding dress is here.
The stories you need to know to start your day. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560. The Answer. This is Chicago's Morning Answer.
Merry Christmas.
On AM 560.
Ho, ho, ho.
The Answer.
All right. The eve of Christmas Eve. Paul Vallis is here and for Dan Proft. And we were just talking during the break. So with this new stimulus package, schools in Illinois, $2.2 billion in CPS. How much money?
Chicago gets about $800 million. And they get, I think, 40% because they're going to distribute it based on the poverty formulas, Title I. So the state would get, I don't know, $2.2 billion. So the question I have is, are they going to open schools? Are they going to extend the school year? I mean, Chicago still doesn't have a plan to reopen schools for high school kids. So on any given day, you got 100,000 high school kids in Chicago in some of the most dangerous neighborhoods in the nation, either walking the streets or at home. That's why you have 83 school-aged children murdered in Chicago this year. That's why you've had 516 children shot. That's why you've had 14 children under the age of 10 who are dead. Now, it's, you know, I mean, how is that impacting the closing of schools?
And Pritzker can mandate or just put out an edict saying, superintendent, go back to school. That's what DeSantis did, because remember the superintendent of the Miami school district said, we're not going back to school. And he said, no, you are going back to school.
Especially when all the data indicates that, number one, children are not really hurt by this virus. Number two, the children are least contagious. And number three, the schools do not spread the virus. They are not spreading the virus. So for heaven's sakes, why aren't schools open? And again, remember,
in Europe, they're doing it.
That's right.
Teachers never had a problem.
And remember, what does this do to working families? So what the unions have done in Chicago is to scare the living daylights out of poor people. And so they're convinced that the schools are somehow these super spreaders in which they're not. You don't think that the kids aren't getting any. Do you think they're social distancing at home? Do you think they're walking around with masks? Do you think they're not congregating? It's worse. It's worse because schools are not open and serious damage is being done here. But you know, let's get schools open. If they've got let's extend the school year, particularly for those students that are academically struggling. Again, well over $2 billion, $800 million to the Chicago public schools. It's mind-boggling. That means the schools that have been closed now for 10 months would have gotten $1 billion in additional federal money. $1 billion. Think about that.
Well, joining us now on our turnkey.pro answer line is Dave Ruggles. He got out of Illinois. He saw the writing on the wall. And tell us about how are your freedoms doing? How are you doing, Dave?
Oh, doing great. Thanks for having me. It's great to be here. You know, this state just completely handles things differently than they do in Illinois. Give you an example, our particular county just switched into what's called a red zone, which is the absolute highest alert, the worst that you can rank a county
in Indiana.
I'm like, well, what does that mean? Well, it means we're still going 5 days a week to school, we're still playing sports, mm-hmm. and the restaurants are still open.
Right.
So, I mean, that's the worst case scenario for them right now, and that's how they approach it, and that's because, you know, they look at the kids and they say, failure is not an option. These kids need to be in school and we're going to do everything we can. I mean, we literally got an email from the superintendent 15 minutes after they changed it to red, saying that, hey, we are committed to going 5 days a week to school. And that's really what we moved here for.
Wow. And then you have a basketball game tonight, right? Is your son playing in a game?
We do. I chose the school that went to the state championship in football for the first time in 1,000 years. And so they didn't start the basketball season. We're the only school that hasn't played, I think, in the entire state, and everybody else has played 5 games at least. So we get to go at it tonight, and we're excited about it. And, cool. You know, they do limit the crowd sizes, but, I mean, that's – who cares? You know, that's at least the kids are playing.
Right.
Oh, my God. And how's your son doing? How's his disposition? How's his, you know, attitude?
Yeah. Yeah, it's night and day. I mean, you know, just – it's amazing because you know, these kids that will complain about going to school, you know, back in the old days, now they're flying out the door. You know, I mean, a kid is excited to go.
Mm-hmm.
see his friends, to socialize. He got straight A's this semester, and I can tell you he was not, or this quarter, he was not headed towards that where we were before because of the not-so-much learning nonsense. So, it's been a great experience. It's just a different approach down here. It aligns more with how I think about things. And, I can respect people that are going to go to the mat and try to defend the kids and give them the right to live their lives, versus a state that like Illinois that's sitting there. I mean, think about how stupid it is that they haven't played football. They had a 3.2% positivity rate in the fall, and there's probably not a state in the entire country that's got that now. Michigan's resuming their football playoffs in the beginning of January. 23 states, I think, have played their football season, and I think they said another 9 are getting ready to finish. So, there's no doubt that they know they made a mistake, and the problem is you don't get a do-over. And by not playing football and not playing the fall sports, now what you've done is you've totally filled up the calendar and made it impossible for these kids. They're going to have to choose. They're going to have to choose a sport if you even play at all.
Right.
Right. I think both of my boys are done with volleyball, and I work so hard to build up that program. But they're like, Mom, we're going to have football in the spring and basketball and soccer. I can't squeeze in volleyball. And there's not enough gym space to do all this. Badminton, girls basketball, boys basketball. You'd need 12 gyms to make this work.
Right.
And five
and
fields.
And even the nicest schools in the suburbs don't have those kinds of facilities. And, and you're the premise that you were going to start football in mid-February, I mean, and people just sat there on their hands. It was unbelievable to watch. I mean, Paul, I saw you and Amy, at some of the rallies, and I was obviously at a bunch of them. I mean, if you'd had 5,000 people at any one of those rallies, this would have changed. New York City. Mm-hmm. De Blasio, he caved under pressure from people. He admitted it.
From the teachers
union. You got an entire state of people. Yep. Yeah.
Forcing him to close the school and then reversing himself.
Right, because the parents came out and protested, and I don't know where the anger is. I don't understand why everybody is so lobotomized in this stupid state that we live in. Dave, I'm not putting up Christmas decorations, excuse me, and I'll tweet this out later, but I blew up that map that played all fall sports. And I put it in my bay window. It's humongous. And that is my Christmas gift to my neighbors and to anybody that walks by on their way to Starbucks or the Piggery or the diner. So they can see how everybody else is living.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing to watch. I got a buddy that moved to Iowa and his kid's playing. I mean, Iowa and Indiana, I mean, just blanketing,
Michigan.
Both states on the board, Michigan.
Florida.
Just making Illinois look bad. And, people just, unfortunately, they're just curled up on the floor in the fetal position right now, and just kind of hoping that things work out. And that's just not how it works in life. And, I made the comment to my family the other night. I said, we fought so hard for this thing, and really we lost, if it comes down to it.
Oh, yeah.
But I said, at least we can hold our heads high that we, we gave it a shot. I mean, the people that are just sitting there in Chicago and letting their kids – waste away and watching their opportunities just go by the wayside. It's embarrassing. I don't know how you do that as a parent.
Well, it's hard because I'm one of those parents and I tried. I mean, I tried, but I have this thing called, I've got an ex-husband and that's, if I didn't have that, we would be living in a vastly different place. I mean, even Northwest Indiana, I toured those high schools. They have things that are, the suburbs don't even have. I mean, those are gorgeous high schools. And yes, there's problems in every high school, but the facilities were great. Their theater program, I was so impressed. And I am just, and I told next year, we are not doing this next year. Everybody knows.
No.
I don't take me to court.
Well,
I don't care. I'm moving. And I could still come to work. I could just drive, extra 30 minutes. I don't care.
You know what?
My son's doing fine with e-learning. But, what about the other ones? I mean,
right.
Does anybody care about anybody else that's not doing fine? Because there's a boatload of people who aren't doing fine.
Yep.
And, and that's the thing that infuriated me about the process is that, maybe your kid's doing great out in Wheaton or whatever, one of these towns that's got some money, but what about the ones that don't? And nobody ever believed that I cared about that. My mom taught for 35 years in Chicago Heights. So, I mean, I got to see it firsthand.
Oh, yeah.
There's a major cost for these kids.
There's
a major cost to society. And it's not necessary. They're going to come back at some point and say, like DeSantis did, this is the biggest mistake that we've ever made, and DeSantis reversed it.
Right. But you think Pritzker's going to ever admit that?
They're never
going to
admit
it. Hell no. So ridiculous.
And his, his reward for being wrong and Aziki's award for being wrong will be they'll get some, you know, trophy of valor or something from some organization of fools that they belong to. You know, and it's just going to be even more infuriating.
Well, I'm going to spend my life making sure that he does not get reelected and Lori Lightfoot, because they cannot be rewarded for this fraudulent, moronic behavior that they have been demonstrating.
Right.
It is so stupid. And they don't care because their kids don't have to follow the rules. I mean, how is it that half of our governor's family doesn't even live here because this town's this state sucks so badly? They're in Florida where she can do what she wants. She can do her travel sports. She can do her horse things, where equestrians. And we can't. And our kids can't. I mean, it is just mind-boggling to me that they don't follow the rules that they set in place.
You know,
I agree.
The tragedy here is that the schools have the technology, the knowledge and the skills out there to have offered what they call simultaneous learning or synchronous learning, where a teacher could be in that classroom teaching and kids would have the option. Parents would have the option of either learning remotely or physically in the classroom. And indeed, if you had a teacher who had existing preconditions, they could teach kids in that classroom remotely with the teacher aid in the classroom.
So you could have glass between them.
Yeah, I mean, you could have easily done that. I mean, you could have easily done that.
I will never forget what the Clay County judge, Michael McCaney, said. When laws do not apply to those who make them, people are not being governed. They are being ruled.
Right.
And that is so true. And people are just sitting back and taking it. And I don't know when they're going to wake up, honestly.
Well, the thing about it is it's, Paul, what you mentioned, too, that's problem solving. And that's what happens in the real world. Okay, we need to open these schools. We all agree we have to get the kids back in school, back playing sports. So let's get all the parties who can influence that into a room, and let's figure out how to get it done. And we're not leaving here until we figure it out. That's how you do it in the business world. The problem is these dopes that are running these things have never been in the business world. And so they just pass down these decrees and move on. And like you said, they don't even abide by them. And eventually, what they're going to find is that people are just going to stop listening. And it's already happening.
Well, I hope so. But they're scaring people so that they can control them. I mean, this Thanksgiving surge and hospitals are on the brink. I call the hospitals every week. And guess what? They're not at the brink. They're not bursting at the brim. They're fine right now. And that Thanksgiving surge that they kept scaring us about didn't happen. And I hope it doesn't happen for Christmas. And, yes, we changed our Thanksgiving plans, but that's a personal decision that we made to protect my mom. But enough already. I mean, it's lies, and I can't take it anymore.
The other thing is, and this is if the statistic that they will never furnish, that is game, set, and match for them, is what was the hospitalization rate last year at this time and the year before? Because you had flu and everything else, and I pulled up an article from 18 where they said there were people out in the hallways.
Oh, yeah, I remember. They set up tents.
And we didn't shut down the world because there were people in the hallways. Now, I mean, it's a problem. It's got to be dealt with. But, there's medications right now like remdesivir that require, I think, a five-day visit.
Yes, you have to be in the hospital to get remdesivir.
The irony is that's supposed to be a drug that's used to shorten hospital stays, and I think it may in many cases have increased them.
My friend at Rush says hospitalizations are up, Amy, but they're spending less time in the hospital. So in March, you might have spent five, six days. Now it's one night or two nights.
Yeah. Well, I go back to what is a hospitalization? I mean, I think the way they classify these things, what's a COVID death? What's a hospitalization? I think if they could put that on a giant billboard on 1994, people would go, wait a second. Somebody who dies 30 days after they were diagnosed with COVID in a car accident is a COVID death? I mean, there's things like that in the case.
And there's a great piece, my Miami Herald, they focused on one hospital, and there's 818 COVID hospitalizations. Well, they found out 412 of those people were in the hospital for something else, and they tested positive for COVID. Like one kid had a compound fracture in his arm, but tested positive, was asymptomatic. So that's information we need to know. And I'm, and Pritzker says, oh, you're a COVID denier and you have this platform where you're spewing lies. That's just a fact. The numbers don't lie. And people need to wake up. And I wish that money was not tied to COVID deaths because of the CARES Act. If you die from a COVID death, that hospital gets $38,000. But if you die from
financially, incentivize organizations to call something, to label something, you are asking for trouble.
Yep. All right, Dave, we're going to have to leave it there for today. But thank you, and we'll check in with again. Check in with you again, and good luck in your son's basketball game tonight. Must be nice.
All right, thanks for having me.
Thanks, and he joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
This is Chicago's Morning Answer.
You stink.
I think you're going to have a good Christmas, all right?
You smell like beef and cheese. You don't smell like Santa.
On AM 560, The Answer.
Open mic! Open mic
Wednesday!
Call in now! Open mic Friday!
All right, grab a line, 312-642-5600. Concerns, comments, phrases, words you never want to hear again in 2021. My favorite, one of the best parts of the year for me was Pete Buttigieg, who used to be an intern at Channel 5, by the way. He was Renee Ferguson's intern. I met him several times. When he accepted the position of transportation, he's nominated for transportation secretary. His experience with transportation and with the choo-choos.
I've also had a personal love of transportation ever since childhood. More than once, as a college student, I would convince a friend to travel nearly 1,000 miles back to Indiana with me on Amtrak. Though I know that in this administration, I will at best aspire to be the second biggest train enthusiast around. I spent a spring break in graduate school aboard a cargo ship studying there. Travel in my mind is synonymous with growth, with adventure, even love, so much so that I proposed to my husband, Chasten, in an airport terminal. So don't let anybody tell you that O'Hare isn't romantic.
I fell in love and I proposed. I got down on a knee and said, Chasten, will you marry me? And he said yes, and now I'm going to be transportation secretary. I mean, are you? Is this for real? Dan Proft had fun with it. He's like, meow, 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 because it's Mr. Rogers' neighborhood over there.
It's a strange, it's bizarre world. Remember the Superman comics?
Yeah.
Bizarre World was like where everything was just defies logic, absolute. Superman was bad, you know what I mean?
It was crazy.
We live in bizarre world.
And another highlight of 2020, when Governor Pritzker decided to use federal funds, COVID relief funds, to start this Healthy Holidays campaign.
Okay.
You know, this All in Illinois and Be Healthy, and Justin has a parody on it.
Healthy Holidays.
Healthy Holidays.
Healthy Holidays.
Healthy Holidays.
While the privileged keep living.
Ooh,
healthy Holidays.
Healthy holidays. Healthy holidays.
I mean, 312-642-5600. Let's go to the phone lines. And Laura joins us. Good morning, Laura. How are you?
Good morning. It's Laura from District 214. How are you today?
Good. I heard you guys got the good news that you're going back to 5 days a week, correct? January 19th?
That is correct, but I think most of us who are pretty involved in this Open the School movement are cautiously optimistic. The schools have made the days that are open to the students pretty inhospitable. And as Dave Ruggles mentioned in his previous segment, you know, we have six high schools here in District 214 that are all very diverse, and there are certain high schools that I think are going to have very low participation rate for the in-person schooling. So let's see what happens come January with how many kids participate and what the experience is actually like for kids. I know in some of the hybrid days previously, kids have come into the school building and their teachers are not in the classroom. Zooming in from the class. It is ridiculous. And so again, before people are jumping up with joy over this announcement, let's wait and see how this shakes out.
And then you're taking off, right? Are you moving out of Illinois?
I am. So I have a daughter who's a senior, and I saw the writing on the wall as well. And I pulled her out of District 214 over the summer and am homeschooling her for her senior year of high school, which is just insane. And I'm pretty involved with the back-to-school rallies. I'm going to do a lot of help to help our District 214 candidates with their election this April. And then I'm out of here this summer. I'm under contract for a home in Indiana.
Oh, good for
it's
you.
I'm pretty happy about it. My desire to move started out is purely economic. And as this year has unfolded, it's now become a moral issue for me. I have a hard time paying property taxes for these school systems that I just think are not doing right by our children.
Good for you, Laura.
She's absolutely right. Look, we pay in Illinois between 2 to 3 times as the amount in property taxes that any of the surrounding states pay.
And for what? What do we get for it?
And
shutdowns, lockdowns, can't use the lakefront.
And 2/3 of that money goes to the schools. And outside Chicago, 70% of that money goes to the schools. And we spend between 25% to 50% more per pupil than they spend in the surrounding states. And in Chicago, they spend $2,000 more per pupil.
Oh my God! For
average.
What? It's a they're
for
they're,
what?
You know what holes?
For what?
For what?
So we're paying, you know, more. We have the highest property taxes in the country, and what are we getting for closed schools or these convoluted hybrids, which are confusing and depressing? And many of these hybrids do nothing to address the needs of working parents.
Yep.
And
sometimes
exactly.
They make it worse.
Absolutely.
Because you'll have one schedule one day where you're going at 11 o'clock and the other day you're going at 8.
It's just, you know what
Laura,
it is? It's hostage taking.
Yep. Laura, thank you so much for calling and good luck to you.
Thank you.
Okay. And we're always here for you. You can get us on our app. So even if you move away, you can still listen to us. Let's go to the phone lines. 312-642-5600. Bob in Buffalo Grove. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Amy. I got your message. You wanted to talk to me.
Yes.
I got some things. One of the things I got a message, you know, every day I listen to you guys and I also read all my emails and I got a message about the 6 Republicans that voted against the stimulus bill. That was kind of interesting.
Ooh, who were they?
Blackburn. Mm-hmm. Then you heard Ron Paul's rant on the floor.
Right.
Rick Scott, Ron Johnson, Mike Lee. And Ted Cruz.
All right. Well, thank you for that.
And then one other thing with regards to words, I don't want to hear anymore. I think it's called shadow banning. You know, when they block you on Facebook and Twitter.
Yes.
It's just there's a whole new.
Yep. You don't want to hear shadow banning.
Have a Merry Christmas, a safe trip wherever you're going, and to see you or hear you next. You going to be in next week?
No, I'll be in 2021. And everything's going to be different. Just kidding.
All the listeners out there, let's have a happier new year.
Thank you, Bob. You're the best. I love Bob. Speaking of Rand Paul, yeah, his rant, epic. Here it is.
Businesses are told they have to close at an arbitrary time, determined by government officials, as though the virus only comes out late at night. A business in one zip code can open, but one in an adjoining zip code across the street has to close, as if the virus can't cross an imaginary line. Airlines are allowed to fly, but hotels have to limit their occupancy, so you may not have anywhere to stay when you get there. Mom and pop stores and specialty stores are forced to close, but big box store competitors are allowed to stay open. How is any business expected to survive with this kind of arbitrary regulation that changes from day to day?
Yeah, what America are we living on? And he went in to talk about, you know, schools. Sorry.
Meanwhile, many schools remain closed, despite overwhelming evidence showing kids can learn safely in person, which means parents can't go to work, which forces parents to leave their jobs and take care of homebound kids. Now, they have no income because the government forced them to leave their jobs to take care of their kids, and many kids are struggling with this improvised virtual school. The need for help is real. I hear it every day from Kentuckians and across the country. But it's clear that government has worsened the economic damage and acted as the biggest obstacle to economic recovery.
You know what? Senator Rand Paul is really growing on me. He has been such a leader through all of this. And he's a doctor, too.
And look,
and he had COVID, too.
I don't call that a rant. I call it an articulation of facts. I mean, the bottom line is, it's not COVID because COVID's everyone's excuse. COVID's the reason schools aren't open. COVID's the reason we have rising crime in Chicago. COVID's the reason that we're in a financial crisis. No, it's the government's response to COVID, not driven by the facts, not driven by the science. It's the governor's response from COVID that has decimated our economy and is, in effect, dumbing down our educational system for poor children. And I have to hit at that number again. I mean, working mothers, again, that I put out this statistic early on. The first month that schools were back in this country, there was a jump in unemployment by 1.1 million, and 80% of that unemployment were women.
Because women had to quit their jobs to stay home to take care of their kids.
So not only are we widening the achievement gap, are we widening the social economic gap, so to speak, but let's face it. I mean, from an economic development standpoint, from an economic standpoint, women are regressing.
I know.
You know,
we work so hard, too.
Exactly.
Susan on West Chicago. Good morning, Susan. How are you?
Good morning. I do not want to hear stay safe, because if you're staying safe, you're not having any fun at all.
Yeah, I know. I hate when people tell me to stay safe. I'm like, no, stay sane.
Stay sane.
Stay sane is what I say. Yes.
Don't you want to just feel sorry for that person that says it? I actually do. I'm like, oh, God, I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. Anyway.
All right, thanks,
Susan. And two other words. Yes. You know what? Two other words we don't want to hear? Lightfoot and Pritzker.
There you go. Thanks, Susan. Appreciate it. Let's quickly go to Dawn in Plainfield. You're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Amen to that. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to both of you.
Thank you.
So, Paul, I have a question for you. So
sure.
I know that a lot of people feel that the reason why the schools aren't opening is because the superintendents and the boards are kowtowing to the union. But one thing that parents don't realize if they don't have kids with special needs, I have twins with IEPs, with education plans. And one thing we learned very quickly, that everything is written based off of the school district's budget. As an example, let's say a parent wants an aid for their kid. Well, one of the things they're afraid of is if they give the kid an aid or more occupational therapy time, they're afraid that other parents in that same classroom are going to find out, and then they're going to ask for it for their kid. It's just one of the tactics that the school districts use. So my question to you, Paul, is from a realistic operational standpoint, the schools aren't providing special ed services. They're not providing transportation. How many of these superintendents and boards are seeing dollar signs? Hey, we don't have to provide these services, and money's going into their budget.
Well, there are a lot of state school districts. In fact, through these parent rallies, parents have come to me,
right,
whether it's Oak Park or, for that matter, in Lincolnshire, and their schools have huge cash reserves. And, in some cases, these schools are actually cutting services for the kids while not doing anything for the administrators. I mean, the bottom line is, believe me when I say schools should probably be spending less on educational services, given the fact that they've been effectively closed or in hybrid models for the last 10 months. So, yeah, I think they are I don't believe they're taking a financial hit. And remember, the state of Illinois is about to get $2 billion, $2.25 billion in additional money just for schools alone.
Right, it's so ridiculous. More of your phone calls coming up. If you're on the line, don't hang up.
This is Chicago's Morning Answer.
Hallelujah! Holy shit!
On AM 560.
Where's the Tylenol?
The Answer.
Got a text message saying, Amy, you've mentioned several times that JB and Lori never played sports. I have to tell you, Mayor Lightfoot was actually the point guard on her high school basketball team. Okay. She was. Well, I'm surprised that she's not supporting sports then. Let's go to the phone lines quickly. Let's go to Ron in Varna, Illinois, which I think is a suburb of Peoria, right?
Well, we're close to Peoria. How are you this morning?
I'm doing all right. I've had better decades. What's up?
I got the Chicago Tribune out here, and I got Sunday's paper, and I didn't know if anybody brought up that CEO Jackson got a $40,000 a year raise.
Yes, she did. The CEO of CPS got a $40,000 raise. She sure did.
And her benefits cost the taxpayer $62,839 a year.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome. And then they say her excellent and fearless leadership.
I know.
Chicago Public Schools are the worst school district in the country.
And it's so bad she doesn't even send her kid to a Chicago Public School. She's the CEO and she sends her daughter to a Catholic school. Thanks, Ron, for the phone call. I know, it's craziness. And I think she got a raise because they wanted to keep her here in case Biden was going to pin her for the education secretary. I don't know. Who knows? Let's go to, last but not least, number one on our hearts, Chuck from Delavan, Wisconsin. Hello, Chuck.
And oh, you picked up the wrong line again. This is Santa. Hey, Malice, in a previous lifetime, I think I bumped into you at the Language Academy, Turner Drew, or Arbonne Temps, or the Old Loretta High School. I was a construction superintendent. I shook your hand.
Turn your mic on.
Dasher and Dancer, Prancer and Vixen, Comet and Cupid, Donder and Blitzen. You guys all know that song?
Yes.
Well, that was sung by Gene Autry in the Pinafores. And he said, I'm not going to sing it. And his wife said, oh, yes, you are. And it was the most sung Christmas song. And he made more money on Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, which was written by Montgomery Ward to tax Sears out of the box. Now they're both out of the box. And what did they do first? They got rid of their sporting goods section. Got rid of their guns, got rid of their rifles, and now nobody shops there.
All right. Hey, Chuck.
Merry Christmas to
Merry
all.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Chuck.
The stories you need to know to start your day. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer.